Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome to America Tonight. Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney. We're getting ready for the State of the Union address, which will come down on Tuesday evening. The day after the State of the Union, we'll have post comments from some congressmen and senators on the Hill. And tomorrow, we've got an interview with Jim DeFelice, who was one of the co-authors of the book American Sniper, which is the New York Times bestseller, of course, and that was a bestseller the second it hit the shelves, and now it's turned into this sensation of a movie as well. So we'll chat with him about Chris Kyle and what it was like to spend some time with Chris Kyle and all that sort of stuff. Can't wait for that. In the meantime, the president getting ready for the State of the Union. A lot of the setup we already know. Some of this I've talked about, and I thought about this. If I asked you this question, what is it you want to hear from this at the State of the Union? What would you want to hear from this president? Would it be something to do with health care? I don't think we're going to hear much about health care, honestly, except for more people have health care or whatever that might be. Would it be something to do with the immigration situation? I don't think we're going to hear about that. I mean, I think it's mostly going to be close Guantanamo, tax the rich people, because that's that whole thing with capital gains. Drill for oil in the Atlantic. I mean, that's part of what we know, because some of the themes have been released. And Tuesday's State of the Union address is probably going to be filled with some of that. And considering Congress is now controlled by Republicans, it might be a little ambitious. Maybe it's going to be about jobs, adding more jobs, stop spending, that kind of stuff. Probably more on the taxes. Like I said, one of those is the capital gains. And probably as well, situations maybe. Because initially I would have said they would have touched what happened in Paris, but he wasn't there. Since he wasn't one of the world leaders that was there, I don't know that he'll dive deep into that or not. And remember, a lot of what a president does, they invite people, heroes, people who have done something significant. So he'll point people out in the gallery who have some relationship to something he feels he's accomplished as president and what he sees for the next 2 years in the tail end of his administration and what that's going to be. Things I doubt he'll go near is something that Congress is going to talk about heavily again next week, and that's the Keystone Pipeline. So there'll be a lot of promises. But I bet, because when you're in this situation, you're not running for president again. You are just kind of legging out your presidency, but carefully. Because you don't want to, what if he, you know, keeps amping up the Guantanamo thing and there's not the appetite in Congress for that? Because it would have to be approved by Congress. Closing Guantanamo, moving detainees, especially if some of them were to be moved to the United States, would cost a ton of money, needless to say. Right? So That would be something Congress would have to stamp off on. Maybe Cuba, maybe something about Cuba is mentioned, although there's some Democrats that aren't too thrilled with what the president's done with Cuba, only because, you know, they're Cuban Americans. For example, Senator Menendez from New Jersey, who feels it's a huge disservice to the Cuban people, and this push for more relations and this push to kick open the doors even wider is kind of iffy on some sides, and some embrace it. It's really a mixed bag, I'd say, in front of that political audience. But I wouldn't be shocked if you see somebody there who represents. In fact, we know one person that's going to be there. Senator Rubio has got a guest at the State of the Union address, a daughter of a Cuban dissident that was killed in 2012. She's going to be there. And the freed Cuban prisoner, Alan Gross, is going to be Obama's guest at the State of the Union. So I think they'll brush over the facts and say, 50 years, no relationship. Now we're trying to broaden that relationship. And it'd be interesting to watch all of that crack open, because the thought is, of course, Raul Castro is in charge, so it's a whole different thing than his brother being in charge. And maybe this is the time that the relationship is seriously being looked at and worked on, and there'll be more significant things that happen other than if you have an educational trip or specific things where the tourism is opened up, you can do that. So look for that to be something also that's very, very, very big, I would say. A couple of other things here at the top, and then I want to tell you what's coming up. We talk with Bishop Council Ned, who is terrific, from Project 21. He's a black conservative pastor, and he always has a lot of interesting things to say. And his focus is on Martin Luther King Day and how Martin Luther King would feel today, seeing how far we haven't come when it comes to race. And his thought is, how did it get so gunked up? And he says that Martin Luther King would not be happy with Jesse Jackson, would not be happy with Al Sharpton, to name a few. And then talks about a few other things, and things that were he thought were pretty significant. So it's always interesting to chat with Bishop Ned and get his insight into his slice of America, which, you know, he's, again, weighs in heavily on the conservative side as a black man in America, and he's part of that big group where we have a lot of friends, and we've had them on to give you a different point of view from Project 21. So he joins us in our next segment. Also, because so many people wrote to me about this, I guess it's the phenomenon of Jody Arias, Jane Velez Mitchell is going to join us. And Jane Velez Mitchell is, of course, the headline news anchor who did a book on Jody Arias and has a lot of insights into the kooky, crazy world this woman, how she existed in it, and ultimately how somebody paid the price because they got sucked into it, and how long this court battle has been going on. For years, her name bubbles up. For years, mistrials, everything else. Now there's the chance of the death penalty again. It's just absolutely crazy. So that's coming at the tail end of the hour. And then, of course, odds and ends. There was a wild spree that went on. I don't know if you knew anything about this. I don't know if I even mentioned it. But they were calling them Bonnie and Clyde. And they moved all over the Southeast. And they were teenagers. And they were robbing people. And the cops thought they had a beat on them. And there was a... You know, there was a guy that finally led them to him, because it was like they would be photographed, they'd have video of them, but they could never catch them. It was a crazy story. And the girl is 13 years old, so she'd be a minor and will face charges in juvie court. But the boy is 18 years old, so taking off from Kentucky with his 13-year-old girlfriend earlier in the month doesn't look so good for him. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment
frequent basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, John Huebner from Midas Resources. Are you tired of watching your hard-earned assets dwindle away? As government spending is out of hand and the Federal Reserve is creating in excess of $20 billion a week, are you tired of stockbrokers gambling away your hard-earned money? Is this market a setup for a crash greater than 1987? Too many of today's policies resemble those that led to the collapse of 1929.
This is John Huebner, and that was me in 2007. And we all know what happened when the subprime credit bubble burst. By March 2009, the dollar lost 50% of its value. The entire U.S. banking system was on the verge of collapsing. Like all financial problems of the past, is history about to repeat itself? Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129, before it's too late to protect yourself. Will the oncoming catastrophe take all private IRAs, 401ks with it? There is a way to protect your hard-earned assets. Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129.
Yeah? Did you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Well, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, it rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson. And it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
Well, I hope not. Now, get your supplies organized and meet me down at the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
Tonight we've been talking about the impact of Martin Luther King Day these many years later. I mentioned earlier about the Nobel Prize and some of the quotes and so much of what we take from Martin Luther King. And the first time I ever heard anything about Martin Luther King, very pleased to welcome to the show Bishop Council Ned. He's a frequent visitor, and we value his opinion from Project 21. Hey, Bishop, how are you?
I'm doing well. It's nice to be back.
So what do you think of when you think of Martin Luther King Day?
Well, it's interesting because I'm not that old, but, you know, I was born in 1968. He died a couple of months before I was born. Obviously, the impact that he had on this country, and I suppose even on my life directly, is clear and it's apparent. You know, it's a decidedly different world. America is, and the one that I was actually born into, in terms of equality in the eyes of the law, opportunities for education, opportunities regarding employment. You know, all of those things you could easily say are direct descendants of his hard work and are part of his legacy. And, again, he's to be applauded, obviously, for all the things that he's done. I am a little bit concerned, though, now about the way things have been trending in recent years.
Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting. You wrote a book called Does America Hate God? Faith Under Fire. And you talk about racial tensions. Do you feel like they're the highest? I mean, you and I are around the same age. Do you feel like this is the highest that you've ever felt them in your lifetime, too?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I remember one instance when I was a little kid. This little kid said he couldn't play with a black kid. I'm like, all right, fine. So we all left and he went and played by himself. But, you know, but really, I don't know that I've seen tensions this high. You know, I actually am, you know, I'm not fearful, but I'm concerned. I wouldn't be surprised if there were actually race riots in the streets of America at some point, the way things are going.
Yeah.
We've got people who, I think, you know, I think a lot of this, candidly, falls on the lap of President Obama and the tone that he set, the confrontational tone that he set with everybody, and some of the political pandering that he's doing is, I think, driving people apart rather than bringing us together.
Yeah, you know, when you say that, it's there are all kinds of things happened when Barack Obama became president in 2008, and now here we are in the last 2 years of his presidency. Do you think he's championed the cause of, hey, why don't we get along? How are we in this position? It feels to me like, no, it's sort of like the third wire of not touching it, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he was ushered into office with, you know, you could say some sort of mandate, I suppose. Certainly, the black community had expectations of him, what they thought he was going to do, what sort of president he was going to be, and, you know, he was going to sort of herald some new relation, some new elevation of, I don't know what. But, you know, what's happened once he actually got into office, you know, I think he pandered his way into the White House, and then once he got there, he decided that, you know, he was sort of post-racial, which sounds good in theory, but what post-racial sort of seems like to President Obama is, you know what, I'm going to support these other special interest groups in favor of these other groups, and it's had an ill and detrimental effect on so many people in this country.
Yeah, how do you think Dr. King would feel if he saw what's happened in light of everything that he went through and sacrificed for civil rights?
Looking at what's going on now, I would think Dr. King would think that his dream has become a nightmare.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hate to mix words on that, but, I don't think he would be at all pleased. I really don't think he'd be at all pleased. This is the man that fought for equality for everyone. You know, not for special rights, for special groups under special circumstances. You know, he certainly wouldn't be proud of what Barack Obama's done. He certainly wouldn't be proud of, you know, I guess for lack of a better term, his descendants like Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, and the direction that they've taken the country and how much hostility every debate that they're involved in.
Why do you think Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson go in that direction? If you go back in their history, they didn't start out that way.
No, they certainly didn't. You know, I think it's one of those things where, you know, not so much Reverend Sharpton, but Jesse Jackson, he was involved on the ground floor in the civil rights movement. He was involved. He was there. And I think the reality of life in America changed, but he refused to see it for what it actually became. You know, he's still operating from this 1960s paradigm where it's us against them. There's always some ulterior motive for something, some ulterior and nefarious motive for whatever's being done, and he sees race when race isn't necessarily involved in it.
Yeah, interesting. You know, I mentioned that you're about your book, Does America Hate God? Faith Under Fire. Tell us about that.
Well, yeah, so this is actually a book that I wrote a couple of years ago, and it finally, it's going to be coming out soon, in the next month. But it basically talks about, examines specific things that have been going on in this country, say over the last decade or so, and examines them with a sort of a fine-tooth comb to see, you know, what does America really support? What's going on here? You know, there hasn't been a civilization since the dawning of man that hasn't attributed their being, their prominence, their whatever, to a higher authority. And America seems to be running away from that. And, you know, we've seen the left and the atheists sort of specifically sort of go after things of faith, whether it's removing Ten Commandments, taking In God We Trust off of money. You know, they keep championing these efforts. We've got military chaplains who can pray in the name of Buddha, can pray in the name of anything else, but for some reason Jesus is sacrosanct, so you can't pray in the name of Jesus. So, I mean, faith is under fire in this country, and this book is designed to address some of those issues.
What about your congregation? I know you're the rector of St. Albans Anglican Church in Pine Groves Mills in Pennsylvania. I'm familiar with that area. How do you work the conversation with your congregation?
Well, you know, my congregation, you know, it's right outside of State College in a fairly sleepy little area. My congregation probably tends to be a little bit more conservative than most congregations around the country. I've got a congregation of thinkers and readers. You know, people who spend time studying scriptures and applying it to their lives. People who see what's going on in the world and, you know, try to relate it back to scripture. You know, is what's going on scriptural? You know, are leaders being leaders? Are people doing their job? Are you actually living up to your calling, the calling that God has on your life? And luckily, my parish, you know, looks at things through that lens.
Yeah, that's great. Thinkers and readers. I love it. I love how you said the conservative right there. I'm not too far away from Penn State, though.
Right, no.
Yeah.
5 miles from the university.
Wow, that's crazy. So when we're talking about Martin Luther King and I mentioned the Nobel Prize, is it really the I Have a Dream speech is just the one we can't forget, or we go back even if we weren't alive then and we listen to that and it was just so beautifully performed, really, with so many people watching and listening, and you could really tell, you know, in this day and age, and certainly you know this, Bishop Ned, that it's all about authenticity, and I'll tell you, you could tell he was a very authentic man, and I think you really get that from that speech. What do you think?
Well, I agree with you there. I mean, you know, clearly he was a great orator, that's for sure. But his message, his messages and his ability to convey an idea in a clear and concise way that, one, people understood, but it also motivated people to action. I mean, that's his real legacy. And it's not just his speeches. You know, if you read his letters from the Birmingham jail, you know, I Have a Dream speech sort of hooks everyone because that's what everybody knows. But if you dig deeper, I mean, it's just as substantive.
Yeah, I agree.
And you get to see the real meat.
Yeah, I agree. You have to dig just a little bit deeper. How about the movie Selma? Do you say thumbs up, thumbs down, or you're just kind of don't know?
I haven't seen the movie yet. I plan to see it at some point. I love movies. I just haven't seen this one yet. And I know there's some hoopla about the awards or whatever. You know, again, I can't really chime in on that because I didn't see it. But, you know, I know that there have been a lot of movies about Martin Luther King. Documentaries, but also various accounts with various actors playing Dr. King. And, you know, I don't know that this one does anything different or special than some of those older ones. You know, I don't know. Maybe they do. Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. I'm just not sure. But, you know, I think people should see it because it's a part of the history of this country. And, you know, it sort of happened in my lifetime.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree. Yeah, the history. And who cares about the awards, really? I understand Hollywood keeps score. Yeah, I understand they keep score that way. But, hey, if a lot of people go to see it, it's about people going to see it, and that would be even bigger. So there you go. Yeah, absolutely. Bishop Council Ned, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for coming on.
Great to talk to you, too, Kate. Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective. You're listening to GCN, proudly sponsored by UnseenNow.com. Lock down your digital life at UnseenNow.com. This is GCN.
Pharmacist Ben Fuchs believes virtually all disease states can be backtracked to digestive problems.
Deficiencies in stomach acid can affect all downstream systems. Taking digestive enzymes can be amazingly helpful for dealing with deficiencies in stomach acid. Enzymes require low pH for activation. You can also use use aloe vera juice, by the way. Sugars in aloe vera have a coating effect on the digestive system. Longevity has a cool product called Noni Plus, which is made from aloe and the noni fruit. It's tasty. It can also function to support digestive acidification of the stomach, and activation of digestive enzymes.
Take pharmacist Ben's advice and support your digestive system by ordering Noni Plus from Longevity. Call 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470 or on the web at brightsideben.com. That's brightsideben.com. Order today.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com. And be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
By the way, if you were curious, Selma, the movie about Martin Luther King, One Dream Can Change the World, that's the subtitle, had all kinds of big actors in it, Tom Wilkinson and Giovanni Ribisi, and of course Oprah Winfrey, Stephen Root, Cuba Gooding Jr. was in it, Ava DuVernay was the executive producer on it and director, and people can't say enough good things about her. In just a handful of days, because it's a very limited release, it's earned so far $29 million and counting at the box office, $29 million. So they certainly recouped their budget because the production budget was just $20 million. Always good for any picture when they do that. Martin Luther King, and I don't know why, but some people don't realize this, but Martin Luther King actually won the Nobel Peace Prize, and I wanted to let you hear a little bit of what he said when he won the prize.
I accept the Nobel Prize for Peace at a moment when 22 million Negroes of the United States are engaged in a creative battle to end the long night of racial injustice. I am mindful that only yesterday in Birmingham, Alabama, our children crying out for brotherhood were answered with fire hoses, snarling dogs, and even death.
Yeah, wow. That was 1964 when he was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. How about that? Kate Delaney hanging with all of you as we swing out of Martin Luther King Day. A lot of people had off. A lot of people went to parades or celebrated or took an extra day off, family vacations, that kind of thing. But there were certainly some things that happened in getting ready for the State of the Union and a few of the other things that I threw out at the top. If you want to chime in, you know, 24/7, you always can, americatonight.net or 855-266-5283, 855-266-5283. Let's go to Jack in Australia. Hello, Jack.
Hello, Kate. I came across this interesting tidbit of U.S. Civil War history today. There is a connection between Melbourne, Australia, and the U.S. Civil War. Back on the 25th of January, 1865, the Confederate steamship Shenandoah sailed unannounced into Hobson's Bay here in Melbourne, much to the surprise of the authorities of the young British colony that had just been settled 30 years earlier.
Yeah.
As you can imagine, it might have caused a bit of a stir. Now, the Shenandoah was coming into port for repairs. It had sunk eight ships as part of the Civil War on the way to Melbourne.
Wow.
And was putting prisoners ashore and refilling its bunkers with coal before heading up to the Northern Pacific whaling grounds, where the Union fleet was up there whaling, because apparently back during the Civil War, whale oil was key in the production of weapons.
Yeah.
So they were going up to try and sink all of that. Now, for a ship that was designed to be crewed by 130 men, when the Shenandoah docked in Melbourne, it had only 43 men on board.
Woo!
Surprisingly, there was an extra 42 Australians on board when it left that had signed up to fight for the Confederacy.
You're kidding. I had no idea.
I had no idea either when I came across this little tidbit today. And because of the actions of the Shenandoah now with this fleet, the crew that had been doubled by the number of Australians on board, the Shenandoah actually fired the last shots in anger of
wow.
the Civil War. And when with the number of ships that it sunk in those last few months of the war, there was 47 ships sunk, 10 of them on one day by the Shenandoah.
Wow.
Then when the war ended, it was chased all the way to Britain. They thought they'd get a better chance of lenient treatment from the British. So when the war was over, they ran to Britain, and where they essentially got away with it. So if they went back to the United States, everyone on board would have been tried for piracy.
Wow. That is something. What a story.
And apparently the number of tonnage that was sunk in the last years, months of the war, brought a lot of condemnation both in the United States and Britain on the amount of whale hunting, and has been credited with the way we now look at whaling because of the massive tonnage that was sunk by the Shenandoah and the number of whales that were killed just for the war effort that claimed 600,000 lives in the United States.
Wow. I knew that about the whales, but I didn't realize that Australian connection, which is certainly something. And yeah, and that was the
one and only connection.
Yeah, one and only. The one and only connection. Yeah, that was, as you know, and you mentioned it was the worst war ever. I mean, brother on brother killing each other, bodies everywhere, yeah. Terrible. Wow. And the Australians signed up.
Yep, and another piece of Civil War history, although this might be a little bit more known, the inventor of Coca-Cola.
Mm-hmm.
John Pemberton was actually a doctor in the Confederate Army during the Civil War.
How about that? And how did he come up with Coca-Cola? Just experimenting?
I don't know. That was a little trivia piece I found on the end of the article.
Wow. Wow. And can you imagine being a doctor there? That was like triage every second. That's all they were doing. That's where modern-day mass units really started because of what happened in the Civil War.
Sadly, most of the major advancements that in Western medicine, especially in trauma surgery and so on, have come about because of warfare.
Yeah.
And even the advancement of prosthetic limbs, we see that now with in the VA these days. The amount of soldiers getting these fantastic new prosthetic limbs, tragically, the research would never have been done had it have not been for war. Even the defibrillator that's used to jumpstart hearts was developed by a MASH unit surgeon during the Korean War. It was one of the pieces of trivia that Alan Alder tried to sneak in just quietly when he was the creative consultant for MASH.
Yeah, and that's a big thing, the defibrillator today, still. I mean, everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Could you imagine an ambulance anywhere that doesn't have a defibrillator in it?
No. No. Uh-uh. I mean, how many lives have been saved because of the defibrillator? That would be an interesting thing to note. I guarantee you a lot.
It has to be in the millions.
Yeah, that's what I think.
It has to be in the millions. And just to get back to Dr. King, you know, we wouldn't have had Lieutenant Uhura in Star Trek had it have not been for Martin Luther King.
And how's that connection?
Nichelle Nichols had been offered the role, and she was also heavily involved with Dr. King's movement. And after the first season, she said to him, I'm going to quit the show because I want to put more time on this. And as she tells the story, he chastised her for it. He was actually quite furious. He said, don't you realize the position you're in? You are the first African-American in a position of power portrayed in the public media. Not only are you African-American, you're a woman. That's a double whammy. With that, she stayed in the show.
Yep. Perfect piece of trivia there, Jack. That was a fine phone call. Thank you. I love that. I love those history nuggets, and especially the last one, too. Timely, talking about Martin Luther King. What a smart advice, because she would have quit, as Jack says, and what Martin Luther King, Dr. King, knew, and that was smart that she didn't. And boy, she played such a good Lieutenant O'Hara in that, didn't she? She was amazing in that role. Absolutely, I just can't fathom anybody else back in those days, or if you go and watch those old Star Trek episodes, I really can't imagine anybody else filling that position. She did such a good job there. She was so good in that spot that it would seem very, very odd to me if she had, I mean, of course somebody else would have jumped in, but she's very memorable. Very, 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 very memorable. And that lasted a long time through her career. I don't know how many of those movies she made, but she was involved in many, many, many of them. I mentioned Jodi Arias and this crazy, crazy trial that never ends with her. And Jane Velez Mitchell's been all over this and covered the trial originally the first time around. And as I mentioned at the top, says of all the things that she's covered and all the crazy, crazy stories, this one just so takes the cake. And the way Arias is manipulative and how the judge and the jury see things and ultimately what may happen with her now this next time around. It was just 6 days ago when she revealed a few new details in a closed door testimony, revealing facts about her actions in killing her former boyfriend. Stay with us. That's next here on America Tonight.
We'll be right back. Alex Jones here. For the last 2 years, I've been working with top doctors, nutritionists, and chemists to design a nutraceutical formulation that has truly life-changing health benefits. So many other formulations out there contain toxic ingredients, synthetic additives, and even GMOs. Introducing the all-new Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Blend, crafted with over 14 key ancient herbs and extracts to supercharge and prepare your body for what experts admit is the most dangerous season of the year. We have rejected hundreds of other formulations in our quest to bring you what is simply the most powerful and comprehensive proprietary formula that we have ever created in the realm of herbal immunity. Experience the benefits of combining over 14 ancient herbs and extracts with exciting new advances in nutraceutical science. Now is the time to secure Ancient Defense for you and your family. Visit InfoWarsLife.com or call 1-888-253-3139. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Good people need help. The Homeowners Association said we had weeds and fined us $25. We told them they had the wrong house. They said if we didn't pay it, they'd file a lien. Our attorney demanded photographs, witnesses, and told them if they couldn't provide this, they must cease and desist. Issue solved. Worry less and live more with LSProtection.com. That's LSProtection.com or call 855-340-SAVE. That's 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
We've been patiently waiting. Waiting while you tried to ignore us. Waiting while you acted like we didn't exist. Waiting for our chance to be taken seriously. The wait is over. GCN is available 24/7 at GCNlive.com. Navigate through news from your favorite host and download archives of past shows. Download the app on your smartphone or tablet or visit GCNlive.com for instant access and live streaming. GCNlive.com, the future of talk radio. Now at your fingertips.
To chat about. She wrote a great book called Exposed, The Secret Life of Jodi Arias. I'm telling you, even my husband read it within like one day, which is shocking for him, because usually he's reading airplane magazines or whatever, but he loved it. And so Jane Velez Mitchell also has a cool website, Jane Unchained. Do you love that.com? I hope she's protected that. JaneUnchained.com. She's in our virtual green room. Hey, Jane, great to have you back on the show.
So great to be here, Kate, and you are right. This case gets crazier and crazier and crazier. You can't even imagine. Poor Travis Alexander was viciously murdered back in 2008. It's 2015, and the final denouement still has not occurred.
Yeah, no kidding. And she admits to killing the boyfriend after a day of wild, rough sex, which now, like, everyone wants every titillating detail of that, because of all the things that have dumped out. As you said, the timeline is crazy. 2008, and here we are in 2005.
Well, the big bombshell is that the judge just decided she will not take the death penalty off the table. What happened was that, of course, you know, Jodi Arias has said from the beginning, well, he was a sexual deviant, and I had to kill him in self-defense. He was forcing me into degrading sex, and he was a pedophile, and all these things, which basically I believe aren't true. But she also claimed that there was porn on his computer. Now, in the original trial in which she was convicted of murder, the prosecutor said there was no porn on that computer. Well, turns out, guess what? In preparation for this penalty phase, where they decide whether she lives or dies, the defense found that there was indeed porn. There were thousands of porn files on Travis Alexander's computer, and they're accusing the police of deleting them, which would definitely be evidence tampering. So this has been a big storm that has slowed the trial down. It was supposed to be finished before Christmas and still dragging on. And the judge just ruled no, even though there may have been some improper activity or incompetent activity vis-a-vis Travis's computer, I am not putting death off the table. So she could still be sentenced to death.
Wow. And what does your gut tell you there with the length of time and going through that? So this is going to take even more time, I would think.
The judge just told the jurors, you know, fasten your seatbelts. You're probably going to be in those chairs through the end of February.
Oh.
I mean, it's unbelievable. I don't even know how these people are doing it. I would go mad as a hatter. Imagine the reporters who were there, and I was there for the first trial. It was very dynamic. But hearing it all again, all over again, the second time around, it's like torture.
Wow.
Yeah, and so it's so fascinating. Jodi Arias actually testified in this penalty phase to see whether she is put to death or not in secret. She apparently, and she's so manipulative, she may have manipulated the judge into this. She convinced the judge somehow that testifying in front of people would be just too damaging and traumatizing, and she has to testify in secret. So she testified in secret, and then, of course, the media went to court saying, no, this is America. You can't testify in secret. The appeals court agreed, and they forced the release of the transcripts of her secret testimony. And her secret testimony, which I've been reading all morning, is just, it's more of the same. It's her saying, oh, I was an innocent, young, lovely, wholesome woman until I met this deviant Travis Alexander, and I don't know how it happened. It was one flaw in my life of an otherwise essentially really wonderful life. Not so. In my book, Expose the Secret Life of Jodi Arias, which is the New York Times bestseller, I expose the truth, namely that she had stalked a previous boyfriend 10 years earlier in almost the exact same way that she ultimately stalked Travis Alexander. And she was not a normal person when she met Travis Alexander. She suffers from borderline personality disorder, and she's very, very disturbed.
Boy, and no kidding, you say that thing about where, you know, she wanted everybody out of the room, it was going to be private and secret, whatever, testifying, and so then the public and the press are out of the room, then they come back in, and as you say, you're reading all the transcripts, it's unbelievable, it's like the gift that keeps on giving, and we were talking about, in a sense, but it had to be crazy then to hear some of that when they came back in the room and uncover this. Can you imagine sitting there if you wrote a daily and you had to have all this stuff? Your notebook would be covered with crossing out things and trying to figure out all the pieces.
Well, you know, what's so fascinating is this is a woman who has never shied away from attention. She loves attention. I don't care whether she was doing the headstand in the interrogation room when she knew the camera was rolling, winning the singing contest behind bars, doing interviews while the first jury was deliberating whether she would live or die. She brought in a whole series of media and one after another did interviews. She had famously said, remember, I want death. Death would be the ultimate freedom. And, of course, she took that back a couple hours later. But just while the jury was initially deliberating, and, of course, they came back hung, 8 in favor of death, 4 against, I believe. And so she loves to be interviewed. She loves attention. She loves the national spotlight. She was on the witness stand for 18 days while the whole country was watching on TV. So all of a sudden now she wants to testify in secret?
Yeah, really, that's crazy. And then what about his family, Travis Alexander's family? Of course, now the thing for them to deal with, as we said, the bombshells in the beginning, is the fact that there was all that porn all over the place, but it's not going to matter so much to them. It still has to do with the shock and awe, I think, of the way he was killed. What do you think?
Well, yeah, first of all, the prosecutor has tried to argue that maybe it was a roommate. You know, I don't know. But you know what? You don't get death for having porn on your computer. We would wipe out about half the population if that were the case. And So I think it's irrelevant. I think it was more a problem of did they do something on tour to get rid of the porn. And, you know, that's still being debated. But this poor family of Travis Alexander, they have been seeking justice now for, well, since 2008. And I watched them as they endured the original trial where she accused them of everything, of pleasuring himself to photos of young boys, of beating her. I mean, she's a pathological liar. That we know. We know she's a pathological liar, so they went through hell. Now, here's the only thing I will say. I personally am not a proponent of the death penalty. I don't think it deters. I don't think you solve killing with killing. I think, unfortunately, they could snatch defeat from the jaws of victory here. Prosecutor Juan Martinez did a brilliant job in convicting her, in showing the world that she was not the victim of a deviant Travis Alexander who was living a double life, pretending to be a Chase Mormon while secretly forcing her into all sorts of untoward sexual acts. He was a guy who was conflicted about sex. Yes, he did have sex with her. Yes, it was kinky sex, which we know from the audio tape that she surreptitiously recorded of them having sex on the phone. But, you know, all of that, in my opinion, and I've really studied this case and talked to a lot of people who were right there when they were dating and carrying on, it was invited behavior. She was the one who was sexually sophisticated. I've researched this in depth. He may have slept with one, possibly on the outside, two women at the time that he met Jody.
Right.
And she had been around the block. He did not even know what KY jelly was, and he says that on the sex tape. So who was corrupting whom?
Right.
She, all of this was invited behavior, in my opinion. She was the one who was inviting, and that's what borderlines do. What they do is they have a secret urge, and they manage to get the person they're interacting with to fulfill the secret urge, and then they blame them for it. It's just like the death penalty trial. She says death would be the ultimate freedom. Now, the jury's deciding whether she lives or dies. Borderlines are very tricky, and especially this borderline because she's above average intelligence, and she's highly manipulative. She's highly seductive, and she's pretty. So it's a very powerful combo, and all they need is one juror to feel sorry for her and say, you know, even though hypothetically I said I was capable of voting for death, I just can't bring myself to do it. And the longer this trial drags on, the more they're in the room with her every day, seeing her sit there. I don't know. I'm not going to make a prediction, but I will say all they need is one juror to say I can't do it.
Yeah, great observation, because I think it's really, it would be really easy in a sense because of how long this has been going on and all of what you just described for somebody to say, I can't go there.
Yeah, but you never know. I mean, this case is so highly charged. I have never seen a case where people were so emotionally involved. Even Casey Anthony, either they're equal or Jody Arias tops it. The hatred that people feel for Jody Arias, I think, really eclipses the hatred people felt for Casey Anthony.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. Great stuff. Best-selling author, you heard her, New York Times, Exposed, The Secret Life of Jody Arias. Unbelievable. Check out the website, janeunchained.com. Always a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you, Kate. Great to be here.
Complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.